This is the Countdown to Mickey podcast, where we take a new look and deep dive into the things we love at Walt Disney World and Disneyland. Welcome back. And today we are going over number 49 on our list of the best ride countdown. This is Michelle.
And this is Steve.
And today we are going to be taking a deep dive into number 49, which is Alice in Wonderland in Disneyland. This is another ride in Fantasyland in Disneyland in California. There's no height restriction. It's classified as a dark ride and is about 3.5 minutes long. Disney says you'll take a topsy-turvy trip into the nonsensical world of Disney's Alice in Wonderland aboard an oversized caterpillar. You will wind along a curving path surrounded by surreal signs, dazzling color, and madcap music as you retrace the steps of Alice.
So, I'm wondering, Disney says that this is a dark ride, but what exactly is a dark ride? Last week, we talked about a spiel ride, and how that's a specific type of ride where we have a cast member who is setting the scene and doing a lot of the narration. So what does a dark ride versus a spiel ride like Storybook Land?
So there's a hyperlink on the Disneyland website of all the dark rides. And to me, it's just like anything that could possibly go in the dark. Like, for example, Splash Mountain is on there. Radiator Springs is on there. Literally anything that has a dark component, the Disneyland website says is dark.
Well, I think that's a little misleading because I took a look into the history of a dark ride, and I think the original connotation that Disney used for a dark ride was like differentiating between like a Dumbo ride or like a carousel ride and an indoor ride like Alice in Wonderland. As soon as we start calling everything a dark ride, like Thunder Mountain, a dark ride,
yeah.
that is majority outside. It's a roller coaster.
It's a roller coaster.
It has certain parts in the dark, but I think as soon as we start calling everything a dark ride, nothing is a dark ride. And so for our intents and purposes, thinking of a dark ride as a traditional ride where there's an electric vehicle that has like one family on the ride at a time or one small group at a time. So I think even though the Disney website calls everything a dark ride, we can be a little bit more discerning on what's a dark ride.
I mean, in my mind, the dark rides are the original ones in Fantasyland, like Alice in Wonderland, Pinocchio, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. Those to me seem like the true original dark rides.
Right. I know we're probably going to get this in a future episode, but what about Peter Pan? Would you consider that a dark ride, even though it's not?
I would, but it's not a car
motorized
vehicle.
Right. It's not a motorized vehicle. We'll talk about that. That's a special hanging mechanism. That's pretty cool.
So did you grow up watching Alice in Wonderland as a kid?
I don't think so. Not very much, at least. I may have seen it a couple times. I obviously remember seeing clips of Alice talking to the Cheshire Cat and Alice playing croquet against the Queen and all of those famous scenes. But it wasn't one of those movies that I was watching constantly over and over again, and I can kind of memorize all the beats and the key parts of the story. I was just one of those things that I was aware of and not necessarily watching a lot.
Yeah, I remember watching it quite a bit as a kid, and it was definitely one of my favorites, but I don't really know why. And the more research I do about it, the less I understand why I liked it. Well, but it was weird. It was like one of the least profitable movies of its time. It came out in 1951, and it got two rides. And there was like a lot of criticism because they didn't really feel like there was like a real story to it. The moral of the story essentially is to be careful what you wish for. And so there was just so much criticism. It wasn't like Cinderella or something that you could really like hold on to that meaning. The whole movie is nonsensical. It's even called nonsensical literary genre.
Right. Well, I like that term that you came up with, kind of careful what you wish for, the meaning behind this story. I think it's interesting that Lewis Carroll, the author of the book Alice in Wonderland, that the movie is based on, that the ride is based on, he embodied that. Be careful what you wish for. He was a mathematician. Actually went by another name. His original name is Charles Ludwig Dodgson. And this Charles Ludwig Dodgson is a well-known mathematician. And during his time, apparently, he was a very conservative mathematician who believed strongly in Euclidean geometry and only believed in the math that we can physically see in our current reality. But as he developed it and he further wrote it, he included a lot of criticism towards his mathematics colleagues into the story. So the reason why Alice in Wonderland is so crazy is because he's trying to make fun of or poke holes in the mathematics of the time. And so he's trying to make fun of all the imaginary number systems and this crazy world that mathematics was creating.
I think as nonsensical as it is, I mean, I think the math makes a ton of sense if you start to see why he said certain things. He was wrong in a lot of his estimations about where math was going, but the fact that he included a lot of that math helps make the story make a little more sense, but I think a lot of that didn't translate to the movie or the ride.
Is there any other like little secret math nuggets I should be aware about in the ride or look out for the next time?
Yeah. Do you remember what rule the king says you must never forget?
It's the queen is always right.
Right. But what number is that rule?
Well, I just watched it, so I think it was 42. Yeah.
But do you know why they use number 42?
No, I don't.
So 42 is a very important number in pop culture and in mathematics, but
40. Is it a baseball player? 42?
Yeah, so Jackie Robinson did wear number 42, but it obviously was used a lot before Jackie Robinson. So Lewis Carroll, do you know what year the book was written?
It was 18.
Right, it was in the 1800s.
Yeah.
And so that was obviously before Jackie Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
It was also well before Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. That's kind of the most famous use of number 42. So Alice in Wonderland, the original book, had 42 illustrations. And Alice's multiplication breaks down when it gets to base 42. And here's the kicker. So the White Queen's age is 101 years, 5 months, and a day, which translate to 37,044 days.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the Red Queen is the same age, because they're part of the same chess set,
okay,
their combined age is 74,088 days.
Okay.
And that number is 42 times 42 times 42.
Got it.
So 42 is everywhere. And I think like that is just an example of some of the mathematics that Lewis Carroll wanted to tell in his story. And it's still told in the ride as well. Do you know where else 42 is used around Disney?
I don't think so.
So in Finding Nemo, do you know where the dentist lives?
42 Wallaby Way.
42 Wallaby Way. Do you know what Buzz Lightyear's Star Cruiser is number?
I guess it's 42.
Ford is number 42. Do you know in Avengers, do you know what the Tesseract dossier is numbered?
Oh, 42.
42. The Quinjet that carries Steve Rogers to the helicarrier.
Oh, wow.
Number 42. And it's all over other places. Like Miles Morales gets bit by spider number 42. And so the number 42 is everywhere from Star Trek to the Cable Guy. And I think that just is one of the many important parts that Lewis Carroll wanted to tell us.
So there's been a number of upgrades to the ride over the years. So the ride started in 1958. It's about 3 years after Disneyland Park opened. It had upgraded in 1984 and 2014.
Wait, hold on. Before you keep going, do you know the company that originally made Alice in Wonderland?
I think it's like WED Enterprises designed it and Aero Construction built it.
Yeah, Aero Construction, we're going to hear a lot more in the future, but they've been kind of one of the most innovative engineering companies for roller coasters kind of throughout history. They're still around today. Their name changed. I think they're like S&S Worldwide or something like that now, but they've always kind of created the first roller coaster. And so they've done some really big innovations throughout roller coaster history. And I think with Alice in Wonderland, they came up with that idea of this three-wheeled electric vehicle that is used in Alice in Wonderland. With Alice in Wonderland, think about like when you ride a bicycle or when you ride in a car, like sometimes you can't like make tight turns really easily. But mm-hmm. If you remember riding like a tricycle as a little kid, when you have a three-wheeled vehicle, you're able to make a lot tighter turns. And so that original design with that whimsical nature, that nonsensical nature of Alice in Wonderland, you want to be able to make these twisty, turvy curves and turns. And so that's why I think they went with that three-wheeled vehicle.
Oh, wow. Actually, did you know that the company lost money when they built Disney's original attractions, but they just stuck with the company because they were so happy to work with Disney? Disney used them exclusively for a long time, so it really made it worth it for them, even though they did lose money on some of those original attractions that they built for them.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah, I think I've done a lot with roller coasters in school and building Marvel roller coasters and using different roller coaster design software. And it's been really interesting to find out that there's only a handful of roller coaster companies in the world. Because when you think about it, like how often does a roller coaster
right.
get made? Like there's maybe some openings here and there, but and then new parks here and there. But overall, it's not that many.
So it was supposed to be an opening day attraction, actually, and it was going to be a walkthrough ride. When you go through the ride, it was just like wooden cutouts of the characters that were upgraded to 3D structures in 1984. And then in 2014, they upgraded some of the safety and new special effects were added. It's the only dark ride in Fantasyland at this time that uses multiple projection effects.
So that digital projection effects is now seen almost everywhere. If you've been to Disney World, you're going to see it in the Mine Train. I think that's one of the most innovative uses where it's actually like on a moving face, on those moving dwarves as they mine. We're starting to see these digital projections all over the place. And there's this new patent that Disney just filed for that's pretty cool that I think is going to show us what direction digital projection is going to go in. And they're going to start projecting different effects on pretty much everything.
Do you think it's cheaper for them to do it like digitally as opposed to the really awesome animatronics like in Avatar?
Yeah, I think price is definitely a piece. Like that animatronic in Avatar, the River Ride, that's one of the most innovative and realistic robots that like has ever existed on the planet. And so that is obviously going to cost a lot of money. But yeah, I think it's way cheaper to get those type of effects. And it allows Disney to kind of tell a story without having everything physically built. And so you can immerse the rider into the story a lot easier.
There's actually a really cool YouTube video. I can't remember which one it is right now. But it actually is like a side-by-side ride-through Alice in Wonderland before and after the special projection effects. And it's really cool. I think that the projection effects really add to it. However, I do kind of miss the idea that they were considering the walkthrough attraction. So they cut it for budget reasons, but you actually would like crawl through a rabbit hole and then go to an oversized room and then you'd walk up and go by Dodo Rock where all the animals were singing and going around the rock. Then you would go into a different room where it changes from day to night. You would actually go into the White Rabbit's house and you go upstairs. You would go down a slide. You would slide down to the large garden with singing flowers. You would see the caterpillar Cheshire Cat. And then you would actually go through hedge mazes and mazes of the card deck. So that sounds really cool. But I do appreciate like the special effects and what they added to the ride that we have there today.
Well, that's amazing that they cut the walking ride for budget reasons. Like it seems to me it'd be more expensive to like get the electric vehicles and kind of deal with the maintenance behind the track and kind of the speed of those effects. I think of the Winnie the Pooh ride at Walt Disney World and the line that you wait in and how interactive that is and how the kids love that ride. We could almost go on that ride
just to go through that.
Just wait in the line. And can you imagine that actually being the ride? And I mean, I guess you have to deal with people coming up close and interacting with the different elements of the ride, but I can't imagine that being that much more expensive. Like, what do you think would be the budget reasons that like would cause a walkthrough ride from being that much more expensive?
I think it was just the many sets that they had to make. The ride, how they have it, is just a Cheshire Cat here, Hookah smoking caterpillar here, you know, whereas these would be like full rooms that you would have to go into. They would also need a lot more space. So Alice in Wonderland was built on top of Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, whereas if they did this walkthrough attraction, I'm sure it would have taken up a lot more real estate.
That makes sense.
So is this a must-do for you?
I think if we have time, I like to ride Alice in Wonderland. I wouldn't say it's a must-do, but I do like kind of getting lost in a nonsensical world that has ties to mathematics. I think that's always fun for me.
Okay.
How about you? Is it a must-do for you?
No, I could care less if I go on this ride at all.
But you would go on this ride before Storybook Land.
Yeah. But it's just it's just not on my to-do list. Like, if we walk by and there's not a long line and I have time before my next fast pass, sure, I'll go on it. But I'm not going to, like, make time out of my day to go on this. But we also have three boys who don't really care so much about Alice in Wonderland. So that kind of shadows my opinion.
Right. Yeah, when we went with our nieces and nephews, this was the first ride that we went to. But that might have just been because that was also the first ride that we saw.
Right. And they were so excited and they wanted to go on it. So, and our nieces did love it.
Right.
Well, even our nephew loved it. But it's just not something that our boys are crazy about.
Right.
They do like the new Alice in Wonderland movie. Not the original, but they like the new one with Johnny Depp. But the ride, not so much. So we do this little game with our kids where we talk about like what the peak and pit, the peak being like the best thing of the ride and the pit being, you know, the worst thing or the things that we wish we could change. So I thought we would play that with this ride. So Steve, what is your peak and pit of Alice in Wonderland?
I think my peak has to be the tie to mathematics, specifically the number 42. I think whenever 42 can be tied in to a ride, it just makes it that much cooler. And so it's fun, always fun to think about where 42 exists and its importance in mathematics. I think my pit is probably, I think, going from dark to the blinding Southern California Anaheim lights, like on the ride and then back to dark, is sometimes a little jarring. And so I think like having that shock, like it's cool to get outside and see the park on the ride, but sometimes it can be a shock to get that brightness right out of the dark.
Yeah. My peak are the marching cars. I just love them. If it was like a ride just of marching cars, it would probably be one of my favorite rides. But honorable mention are the caterpillar cars. I read a story that the original Imagineer, Claude Coates, actually wanted the cars to be the ride vehicle, but Walt Disney insisted on the caterpillar. And it is really cute, so that kind of has a special meaning for me. And then the pit is that it's not this walkthrough attraction. I just would love to see kind of like Winnie the Pooh line. I would love to have more interactive ride where the kids got to go up and touch things and go down the slide and crawl through a rabbit hole. I just think it would bring a new level to the ride.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think we have enough rides to ride through and look at stuff like we've seen it with Storybook Land, where you can see the detail. Disney obviously does great things with detail, but to have a walkthrough line, like one of the only walkthrough rides where kids can just have almost a free-for-all, that would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, like an indoor playground almost.
Right.
So this is usually about a 30-minute wait unless you rope drop it. There's no fast pass line, so in Fantasyland, if you're wanting to tackle Fantasyland, this would be the third ride I would go to. So I would definitely do Peter Pan, Dumbo first, and then I would probably do this one if your focus is Alice in Wonderland or Fantasyland attractions. If not, I would just kind of fit it in the mid-morning whenever you see the ride is 30 minutes or less. How about you?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think hitting it first with our nieces and nephews was awesome because it wasn't a long wait, so we got through it pretty fast. But it definitely isn't one of those good afternoon rides where you get out of the heat and into the cold because you come right outside and you're hot again.
Yeah, and the line's all outside too, so. So, all right, well, I'm going to talk about the 7 things to look for in Alice in Wonderland. Number 1, even though Steve hates it, only dark ride that takes you outside. You ride through a leafy vine track outside on the 2nd floor. Number 2, the vine track used to be without the floor and the railing. So you can look at old pictures of it, and it was like this cute little windy vine that you would go on. But that had to be shut down for the safety reason. So there's a big floor and railing there now.
Like, seeing the pictures of how it was before, and I'm sure I wrote it back before it was changed, but it is kind of surprising, like, how skinny that track is. And obviously workers had to get up there at times.
Right,
and so,
right.
I can definitely see why that was a challenge, but it looked really cool.
And there's no height requirements. And then number 3, the huge tree out front is real. Number 4, there is a hidden Mickey in the white rabbit's house. So if you look through the picture in the open window, there's on the edge of the picture frame, there's a little Mickey there. Number 5, there's a hidden Mickey where the cards are painting the roses red. So when you go into that room, if you look to the left, there's 3 drops of red paint that form a hidden Mickey. I definitely got to look out for that one next time. Number 6, the voice of Alice is the same as in the original movie, which is Catherine Beaumont. She recorded it for the attraction. And number 7, and my ultimate favorite, if you look closely when you're outside, you can see 6 small shoes atop the mushroom where the caterpillar left behind as he turned into a butterfly. So definitely look out for those 7 things. So the trivia for today is, what character and what other movie was Catherine Beaumont the voice of?
And the answer to our trivia question last week, which was, what are the names of the 3 little pigs back on Storybook Land Canal? And the answer is Pfeiffer, Fiddler, and Practical.
Of course, Practical being the pig with the brick house.
Correct.
So that's it for today. We hope you enjoyed our show, and we can't wait to have you back for number 48.
We're excited. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
As you wish.
As you wish. Thanks for listening. Please check us out at countdowntomickey.com. And you can follow us on socials. We're on Instagram, Pinterest, Facebook, all under Countdown to Mickey. So thanks so much, and hopefully join us next time.